Hello, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, looks like we've got it all started right from the beginning, which is good. No wrestling with Skype. So how's it all going today, guys?
Good so far. We've been pretty fortunate, although the quarantine has been pretty hard on a lot of people. Our workflow has been pretty consistent, and we've gotten a lot of new projects over the couple of weeks. So just kind of working through some new projects and updated songs on older projects that kind of have more to show for now, just because people have been working. So it's been a good week.
That's good, because that's one of the things I was going to open up with asking, actually, is because I went back over our last interview and I realized we didn't actually ask any questions. Like, I never figured out how much you guys work in close proximity to each other or anything like that, whether how much you're actually jamming in the same room as opposed to sending files to each other. So I did wonder how much this whole situation might have affected the two of you.
Oh, not that much, actually. Yeah, we both live in St. Louis, but we live about, I guess, 15 minutes away from each other. But yeah, we do almost everything just remotely, regardless. We don't have like a shared space. We just both work out of our homes. We just have a dedicated room for doing this each. So it hasn't been a great change for us. We're very fortunate in that regard.
Oh, right. That's awesome. So still just continuing to send files between each other and things like that.
Yeah, we just have a lot of cloud stuff.
As far as our workflow goes, it's been pretty much the same. As far as projects goes, it actually has been better, which is nice.
Yeah.
Well, there's always a lot of projects coming out of you guys, and we're here to talk about two completely different titles today, Jet Lancer and Level Head. Two completely different games and two completely different soundtracks. And we spoke a little bit last time about how you adapt to various different sounds, because it's something that you guys do a lot. But one thing we didn't get into that I thought was quite interesting looking back on it was differences in production, because we'll get into this as we go through the interview, but to those who might not have heard these soundtracks, Jet Lancer is very heavy, heavily on the guitar, and Level Head is made up of a lot of electronic stuff, and there's a lot of beats and a lot of synthesis and stuff like that, and completely different soundtracks. So I wondered about the production of the two of them and how you approach them, because I assume that one of them's a lot of live instrumentation, the other's almost completely electronic.
Well, for Jet Lancer, really, actually, the only live instruments would be bass guitar and electric guitar. However, they're kind of all over the soundtrack. You know, it's very, like you said, guitar-driven soundtrack. And so the production, like music composition-wise for Jet Lancer, a lot of it started for me with kind of creating a drum beat and using that to kind of inform the rhythm of what, like, the guitar would be, so then I could bass, like, some sort of guitar riff or lead off of that. And then the song kind of evolved from there. We had a lot of like music references that we wanted to kind of draw upon, certain styles of music that we thought would be interesting. And for Level Head, it was more it was similar in that there were different styles that we wanted to draw upon, but obviously those styles are more electronic. And so it was just really about kind of building that bass level of sound for Level Head. With these different synthesizers and how they kind of play off of each other. I mean, they at the beginning, they kind of went through a couple of changes before we really found our footing with what we wanted to do there. So there are a lot of similarities in kind of how we put everything together, but just the sounds that we chose are what really makes it stand apart from each other.
So when it comes to Level Head, which is made up of a lot of electronic stuff, like what kind of actual equipment are you guys using? Because we didn't delve into that either. And recently in some other interviews, we've gotten pretty in-depth with loads of different synths and digital audio workstations and things like that. So what are you guys actually putting to use?
Sure. We've got, we use Pro Tools. It doesn't really matter what digital audio workstation or DAW you use necessarily. They're all just kind of different tools that achieve the same thing, different workflows. In terms of the actual like synths and stuff that we use, there was definitely a lot of Serum. Serum is a very popular one. It's sort of a utility synth where you can almost create anything with it. It's pretty fun stuff to work with and just create sounds from the ground up with it. We did definitely one thing that we did invest with Level Head is in learning a lot more about production. For electronic music. We had done electronic music before, but Levelhead, knowing that the whole thing was going to be that and that it needed to be good, we did a lot of research in learning new production tricks. And I think in terms of our investment and sort of where we allocated maybe time and money, I think a lot of it went to just education over necessarily having new tools or whatever to do the soundtrack. But we definitely use a lot of Serum, and we use a lot of native instruments. We have Native Instruments makes a ton of different sample libraries and synths and plugins, and we sort of have bought into that family, if you will, you know. So we use quite a bit of what they have as well. I don't know, Zach, is there anything specific that we used as well, you think?
For electronic production, electronic percussion, like drum beats and stuff, we use Battery a lot. Battery's a drum sampler that comes with hundreds of different like sample packs of drum kits and stuff, and pretty much anything that you could need for any type of electronic genre. So that came in handy a lot for percussion.
I can definitely hear you pushing that production as well with Levelhead, definitely. And I've just had Shady Lane in the chat actually asking about what kinds of music has actually influenced you guys. And I'm sure it's going to be a soup of different things considering what your career has been, basically reflected that. But so to focus it in when it comes to electronic stuff, and if you say you were really focusing in on it and your production skills with it, were there any particular electronic influences that are at the forefront of either of your minds?
Yeah, at the beginning, it definitely started with Tycho was a big influence because we wanted something that was kind of upbeat, but still really like kind of relaxing. As you're like building levels and stuff, you're going to kind of hear the same song over and over again. And Tycho was a great reference for that because it's such great, just kind of moody background music. For the more kind of intense stuff, Infected Mushroom was a pretty big influence. Just Infected Mushroom kind of has such a wide variety of things that they've been able to do, different styles, and their kind of handle of trance music specifically, we really gravitated towards. Especially for like the main theme and other kind of more upbeat video gamey type songs, just like Euro trance was really, at least for me, it was a big influence. And it was just kind of like a nostalgia thing because I kind of grew up, the first electronic music I heard was like, you know, like Crazy Frog and, you know, the Gummy Bear song, like ridiculous electronic music, just super cheesy stuff. But, you know, it's really like catchy. And so that I kind of wanted to harken back to that, that kind of mid 2000s Eurotrance sort of style of electronic music.
It's interesting because you mentioned that there is this upbeat kind of peppy side to it, but then there is definitely a more ambient, definitely more relaxed, chilled outside. It comes with a lot of the building sometimes. And I wondered how you approach that, because I have over time begun to associate you guys with a lot of upbeat, peppy music. And that tends to be, at least from my ears, what you guys do. So it was interesting to hear these really stripped back ambiences in this.
We do all kinds of things, but I think we did get more into ambient stuff for sure with Levelhead compared to some other games. I think around the same time, we were also doing a lot of stuff with our sort of original side project called Tabard, T-A-B-A-R-D, which you can find on Spotify and Bandcamp. But we were getting into kind of more relaxed ambient stuff through that as well. It was kind of just a direction that we were sort of taking at the time, but we also knew that the game needed that, because if you're going to sit there building a level for hours and hours and hours, there needs to be a pretty good relaxed playlist essentially. And I think the goal was also so that the soundtrack, especially those kinds of songs, would be very listenable outside of the soundtrack. You could just have it as like study music in the background or something. That was definitely one of the goals with the soundtrack.
Well, that's one of the things I noticed, well, in comparing Jet Lancer to Levelhead, which usually you would never do, but the pace of the music is completely different, and in both cases fits the game absolutely perfectly. So obviously that comes from you guys have worked on a lot of games, and I'm certain that you guys play builds of the game as it's going along as well. But how much does that knowledge of pacing actually come from a history of playing games yourself? Because I don't think we delved into that either, how much you guys are actually gamers.
I used to game a lot as a kid, and then I kind of fell out of it for a really long time. And then recently, the past couple of years, I picked it back up. I think that for me, more so than kind of constant than playing games, which I do, just we've worked on so many projects, and we kind of have a grasp on gameplay loop and what that means for the listener. And so we've kind of honed in on a formula for how long a song needs to be and what types of intensity it needs to be based on whatever the player is doing, and just kind of generally how the theming goes with the imagery and with the game and the context of the rest of the soundtrack. So context is actually something that's super important to us. We feel generally when we're working on a soundtrack, we'll maybe write a couple of songs in a certain style, and then we decide, okay, that's enough of that style. It's time to branch out into something new. And so that's definitely something that's important to us, and that helps us inform our decisions in what we're writing.
Absolutely. And that kind of also leads to the complete difference again in the pacing, that it's almost as if these two soundtracks are by two completely different people. They're different in completely every way, and that's it. That is informed by the game itself, with Levelhead being this relaxed kind of building with platforming elements. It works so perfectly, but then moving into Jet Lancer is this like it's much more in your face, much more fast paced. You're flying in the air and battling as well. There's also a little bit of a retro theme to it too, slightly in its graphics. Mm-hmm. And how much were you thinking about that?
We thought about it quite a bit. I mean, when we started working on it, we definitely did not want to do something that was just going to be like an arcadey, like sort of shoot 'em up kind of thing. We did not want to use like a real serious chiptune kind of soundtrack. Although you could, right? That is a solution to the problem, if you will, right? You could definitely do that with a pixel art game like that. That's really arcadey and intense, but. We just wanted to do something that would stand out. The art in that game, there's a lot of really cool 3D moments as well. It's very stylized. It's very cool. We definitely wanted to do something that would stand out and that would enhance the game, fit the game, but also kind of elevate it, right? Mm-hmm. So we were looking into doing something that was more kind of rock-oriented. It actually almost started out a little bit more Doom-esque, maybe, right. Like the Doom soundtrack. A little more gent, but we started kind of hashing out new ideas after we just did some back and forth for a while, and then we kind of really finally decided on a direction to do something that is, you know, that has some chip elements. There are you know, chip sort of lead instruments in the soundtrack, and in the game there's actually a sort of chip layer of music that comes in certain situations. Like, I think if you pause the game, it'll switch to the chip soundtrack, to the chip sort of layering where every instrument is chip. Also, if you're in a boss fight and they shoot like a giant laser beam, it will switch to that. So there are times when it's almost all chip, right? But for the majority of the game, you're hearing this kind of overall rock mix that has some chip elements in it. Horse the Band was definitely a major influence in the initial stages of trying to determine a direction. But after that, there were tons of different rock sort of influences, because we wanted to make a soundtrack that was really varied from, you know, kind of all kinds of genres that, you know, they're maybe more rock or metal centric. That was kind of the goal, was to make something that had chip elements, but wasn't just like a chiptune thing. A lot of the sound effects actually are have that combination as well, where there's a lot of real sounds and a lot of very arcadey sounds that are thrown in.
Mm-hmm. And I remember that from our last interview, that rock music and that kind of area, at least, or more playing with guitars, was a lot more in both of your history. And actually that Zach was a student of yours, right, Pat?
Many years ago, yeah.
A really interesting question has come through in the chat from a listener called Ollie, who's asked if that dynamic of that kind of teacher-student dynamic ever actually plays in to your work, or whether that's long gone now.
I think we've reached a pretty good equilibrium at this point.
At the beginning, I would definitely say that I was at a learning disadvantage, just being, because we're 10 years apart. Yeah. And I, when we started Fat Bard, I was just entering college. I didn't really have a huge grasp on music technology or even music composition for that matter, although I did go to music school for music composition. But once I got out, it pretty quickly kind of shifted to an equal footing for both of us. Yeah. I would say we each have separate strong suits, and we can kind of pick up the slack where the other person doesn't necessarily have as much of a skill set there. So in that way, it's really nice because we can complement each other, and we can take on more projects and do things so starkly different, like Jet Lancer and Level Head. It just kind of allows us to really branch out, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. And I know that over the years that you guys have worked on various different guitar styles and recorded various different guitar styles, because obviously that comes with different production techniques. So was there anything interesting or tips or tricks that you were doing with this to make it sound so thick? Because that's how I'd describe it, this, with these really thick guitar stabs.
I mean, a really easy trick for, you know, any recording guitarist to just record it twice, pan one hard left, pan one hard right. That's a very simple trick to just make things sound bigger. We were careful with the types of distortion that we chose. A lot of the time you would think that, you know, a heavier song would have more distortion, but actually we kind of rolled back on it because the more distortion you have, the more noisy it gets and the less clear you can hear everything. So a lot of the even really, really heavy tracks just have a very little amount of distortion, and I'm just strumming super, super hard. And at times I will cut out the reverb tail of a guitar riff. So if it's like da-da, 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 in between all those spaces, I'll just chop out all of the audio. So it's the air just gets sucked out of the mix, and it leaves room for drums to hit or just anything else. And so those things definitely I used in a lot of songs.
Absolutely. And we've got a track from Jet Lancer on the playlist for later on in the actual live show, and I think my listeners will hear that in full force, actually. Perfect. And one thing that I thought was kind of interesting was that in another duo that I spoke to, a VGM duo, they strangely gravitated towards certain instruments, although there were instruments that they both played, say guitar, for example. I was intrigued if either of you showed a certain gravitation towards bass or drums, say. Bass in particular, because that's what I play.
I definitely gravitate to bass. Any song that has like a really standout bass part, it was probably written by me. I don't know, just because I'm, yeah, and, you know, just I'm always thinking about it because I have played a lot of bass in bands in the past. I started playing it because I used to record a lot of bands, be sort of a producer for bands, and a lot of times I'd record singer-songwriters or people that wanted to flesh out their songs into full band recordings, and so I would play bass, and then sometimes I would become the bass player in their band and play for a while with them or something, you know, live. And so I really like playing the bass, and I think I have an edge on guitar, but I'm close to equal on bass in terms of what I can do. And so when I write even just bass parts on the keyboard for songs, I'm always kind of trying to, I don't know, I'm always like making, I like to make the bass stand out or have like a strong presence in songs when it's appropriate, right? Mm-hmm. Not every song calls for that, but when I have a chance, you know, I'm going to take that opportunity. I'm not going to lay back. But yeah, I think bass is something else that I do like to focus on a lot in songs.
That's fantastic to hear, especially as a bassist. I always love to hear that people are getting that same love out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interestingly, the last thing I wanted to get into today was something that was only briefly mentioned in the last interview, and I was a bit annoyed at myself for not gripping onto it, actually, is that you both mentioned that you work on and contribute sound effects to certain games. So was that the case with either Level Head or Jet Lancer?
Yeah, for both.
Yeah,
it was. We did all of the sound effects for both games, actually, and that's a whole different challenge in itself. Something that I found, Patrick was doing a lot of sound effects, more so for the games while I was still in college. But once I got out, then I kind of picked up the pace with that and started working on it. And I, for me, I found that when I started doing audio production, sound effects, sound design sort of stuff, my music production got better too, just because I was starting to think about sounds in a different way and how things kind of build on top of each other. Pat can talk a lot about implementation with that sort of stuff.
Oh, please do.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
That's certainly.
Well, I think Pat will generally set the tone for sound effects implementation.
Yeah. I think one of the most fun thing about sound design is not necessarily sound design. I think it's more of the actual technical design. It's like how you're going to put sounds into the game, the systems you're going to build in place in the game engine. Stuff like that. It's really it's a fun problem solving thing, right? And the problem is always different. Every game has its own sort of problem, and you have to figure out a solution for it, right? Like in Jet Lancer, there's a ton. Both games actually have a ton of audio potentially going on in any given moment. So you have to figure out how do we control that? How do we mitigate that? You know, in Jet Lancer, it's all about what sounds are important, right? Mm-hmm. In a game where there's a lot of stuff going on, sounds should not just be there to be there. They should be there to inform the player, right? You're trying to give the player information with audio. And so the goal in Jet Lancer was to make it so that, you know, player sounds are very important. Like when you run out of ammo for your special weapon, when you get like a boost from dodging things and you shoot bolts faster, all kinds of stuff like that. You know, when you run out of afterburner fuel or whatever, those sounds should be really, really obvious and noticeable no matter what is going on. So, you know, ensuring that through building sort of audio systems and code is really important. Level head is the same sort of thing where there's a lot of sounds going on. It is a little bit different in that it's not quite as insane. It's not like a, you know, sort of a bullet shoot 'em up sort of game, right? But because people can make levels, they could have 1,000 people making the same sound effect at the same time, right?
Right.
So how do you control that, right? Because you're just going to destroy people's speakers if, like, there's 75 bullet, you know, like turrets firing bullets at the exact same interval, just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a challenge in that, right? Is how do you control that? So that sound design is really, really fun. I think it was something that we started doing out of necessity. A lot of people were looking for an audio team that could do both, right? Music and sound design. We realized there was definitely, we would get more work that way. And because I already had the background in audio engineering, recording bands and stuff, I fell into it pretty easily. And as Zach finished school, he fell into it very easily as well. We've really grown to love it a lot. I like it just as much as doing music. It's a super, super fun and rewarding thing to do.
And does middleware become like a big part of that process? Or was it always a big part of that process?
It's really nice when we can use middleware.
Yes.
For people who don't know, middleware is essentially kind of an extra system in place that we can use to dynamically change how sound effects and music are implemented. Classic case, at least with music, is like the dragon flies overhead and the battle drums from the ambient track start to come up, and all of a sudden it's a battle track. But we're able to use middleware in a lot of really just kind of easy ways, like creating extra variations on a sound. So if you have a sword swing, you can randomize the pitch of it just ever so slightly. So every time that sword swings, it's just going to be off a little bit, and it'll never sound exactly the same. So you can get a lot of mileage out of a sound effect. And using middleware in that way helps developers who are on a tighter budget. So we can really work with them in that way.
But it's really on a kind of per project basis.
Yes, it depends on the project and the engine. Not every game engine supports middleware, basically.
Right.
So for example, Jet Lancer and Level Head were both made using GameMaker, which currently does not support the popular middleware software options that are out there. And so what you have to do with those kinds of games is basically try to recreate some of those audio systems that are just already in that middleware. They're just so easy to just, they're already there, easy to use. You have to basically try to, you know, homebrew some of those things. You really can't do everything that you can do in middleware, but you can do, you know, a lot of the important things, especially with sound design. With music, some of the things that you can do in middleware are just very, very hard to recreate. outside of that ecosystem. But yeah, it's just depends on the project. Not, you know, even if you're not using GameMaker, using Unity or Unreal, just because you can use middleware doesn't mean that you really need to. It really depends on the project and what the requirements are, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. In a lot of different interviews I've done, it really is different every time. Some people have never used it. Some people only use it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's absolutely brilliant, guys. It's a great tale all about those two games. I've been loving those soundtracks this week.
Great.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem. I really hope some guys get into it this week as well, because I've got some tracks from both of them lined up on this week's show.
All right.
If you like what you hear, people out there, you know, follow us on Spotify and all that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Bandcamp, right? You got a Bandcamp as well?
Yeah, Bandcamp is great if you want to directly buy a soundtrack. If you would like to just stream it, Spotify is the better option. Yeah, that's so cool. Either one is great, depending on what you want to do with us.
And I'm sure that we'll hear from you guys again, considering how prolific the two of you are.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, we got some cool stuff coming up. We can't talk about most of it.
Oh, don't worry, we won't poke into that. But if anything shows up on the horizon, be in touch, and you're always welcome.
All right, awesome. Sounds great. Thank you so much
for having us.
No problem. Thank you again, and speak to you soon, guys.
All right, definitely. Take care.
Bye for now.